Welcome back to the Vitamin SC3 podcast. We are so glad that you are tuning into our show. Last week, we heard from Dr. Lemaitre Scott and Dr. Edward Botchway on bone pain and sickle cell disease. This week, our focus is on mental health with Dr. Marjorie Brewer. The segment that we are bringing to you is Self-Care is Healthcare. So please listen to the full episode and tell a friend. Remember, the information shared on the Vitamin SC3 podcast is for information or educational purposes only and does not substitute professional medical advice or consultations with medical providers. To become a member of the Sickle Cell Community Consortium, visit sicklecellconsortium.org.
The Sickle Cell Consortium is a collaborative designed a little bit like the United Nations in theory, so that we can bring together many organizations for sickle cell throughout the country and now throughout the world, as well as independent patient caregiver leaders, opinion leaders, advocates, those that are active in this space. And our goal is, what we've always done, is bring our community together so that we can create projects, priorities, initiatives. We can figure out what are the problems, needs, and gaps in the sickle cell community, and then figure out how we're going to collectively address this.
Welcome, 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 everyone. So happy to have you join us for today's conversation on the Vitamin SC3 podcast. You are listening to the Self-Care is Healthcare Mental Health and Wellness track. And today with us, my name is Dr. Marjorie Dejois Brewer, and I'm going to be your host for today's conversation. And our guest today's name is Her Silence. I love that. The name of our episode, as you can see, is Her Silence Speaks and Heals, which she will be speaking to us. And just for your education for everyone listening, we're doing our interview on World Sickle Cell Day, which is just so phenomenal, just the day in itself. It is beautiful outside. The sun is shining. I feel like the universe, the stars, and everything are just aligned. Our spiritual gods are with us, and they're going to make this journey and conversation amazing. And to start us off, I'm going to introduce you by reading this beautiful biography / poem that our speaker, our guest today, wrote for us to introduce herself. And then we're going to dive into the conversation. So she begins her bio by saying, "I hide all my prose in my gap. Cry it like my two front teeth. All my pain lays dormant beneath my tongue. For that I am grateful. My stories keep a song in my mouth. You know me by my vulnerability. Admire me for my strength. Why shall I fear this blood I did not choose? Why would I gift myself shame I did not inherit?" She says that her relationship with her body has been very dysphoric. She goes on to say, "I have HBSC and my body has survived many hurricanes and tsunamis and the shifts of the earth beneath my feet. Because this genetic blood disorder causes me almost daily pains and more frequent medical crises. I've learned how to grow and mature a relationship with my body. I remember almost every sickle cell crisis I've ever had in detail. I think there's this grieving process we don't allow ourselves when living with our bodies. When I became intentional with mine, everything changed. And that alone is scary. The thing about chronic illness is it's on a timeline that forces you to change your daily routine and relearn your body. Something about the process of recovering from the hospital is so empty and lonely. You have to relearn how to feel at home and safe in your body, along with allowing yourself grace. Now, how do you do that? Having a level of respect for yourself that you didn't before, to begin, and admiring your ability to get things done alone while being carried on the back of your community. Community support is so important to me because I am a pouring faucet. She is, you guys. I am a pouring faucet more times than not. I have to stop the flooding and allow others to pour into me as well. I, by the way, love her flooding, but she's totally right about that. When my community herds around me, boy, do we herd, I am protected, abundant, and grateful. I am a vase, passionate about the emotional, mental, and physical healing work for Black individuals living with sickle cell. I create to survive, to allow my bones some catharsis. I fell in love with the need to express my creative mind at a young age. I thank that little Black girl for the warrior spirit she had to keep going and harness the healing vitality of movement through prayer, poetry, art, dance, sound, and love. I'm going to stop there, you guys, because that in itself is one a mouthful and just so, so amazingly powerful. I love this person. Her name is Ayola. And Ayola, I want you to share anything you want to start, but I want you to tell us, because you specifically said that at a certain point, you kind of started on this healing journey, this journey self-care. So can you share with us maybe when you realized that started and how you started it?
I've always been heavily involved within the sickle cell community, advocating for myself and other individuals living with sickle cell. I think poetry has always spoken through me from a very young age because of the pain I felt. But there's a difference between just writing because it comes to you and writing because you want to heal. And I think that especially started when I started college in 2017. But I think that what really pushed me was transferring in 2019. I had to go through a transformation of isolation and getting back to who I am. And instead of running away from my emotions, which I usually do, working with the people in my life, like Dr. Marjorie, my mom, she's been instrumental in this healing journey and supporting me and keeping me on track and keeping me accountable, always talking to me with love, but as the Haitian mother that she is, very firmly, but also with a very gentle touch. And for me, going back to community care, that has really harnessed and encouraged me to keep going because someone else is passing the mantle to me that has had sickle cell for such a long time, has had to learn her own body through some of the similar things like sound, movement, yoga, etc. For me, I really had to harness isolation with my words and with my creative pursuits when I transferred to Temple University. When I transferred, I really changed everything. I changed my major. I decided to change my health track instead of like going to med school. I'm still going to be pre-health, but integrating medicine and artistic expression in a different way that best suits myself. So that was very much cultivated at my university, but through a lot of the different things that I've learned through the poetry courses that I've taken, through performing within Philadelphia, performing within New Jersey, performing within different sickle cell events. I think what also has motivated me to be intentional with my healing journey is as I get older, the sickle cell pain I experience is more chronic, is more deep, has more depth to it. I feel it differently. It affects the way I eat, affects the way I sleep differently. It affects the way I even see colors. I notice some sickle cell crises, I can even, this feels like a red pain. This feels like a blue pain in my knee. This feels like an orange in my ankle. And when I was realizing all of these things, I realized that I could put that into my writing more. Not just wait until I'm out of the hospital to write about being in the hospital. Write about it while I'm getting an IV exchange, a fluid exchange, or while I'm having a sickle cell crisis and my partner's kissing me where the pain hurts, and drawing how that makes me feel. And that alone, in experiencing sickle cell more intimately with people around me, vulnerably, has been healing work in itself, to be honest.
Oh my God, that is absolutely amazing. And I love how, if you guys could see her, she's very expressive with her hands and her body. So as she's describing the color and how it's different, how we perceive it differently, and how our partner might kiss her, her body movement expresses her words, and she's very expressive. Thank you for sharing that response. How can you share with the audience how your poetry and your art have been a healing vehicle for you? And if I had to ask it a different way, maybe how has that impacted your disease process, meaning either how you feel it, how you experience it, maybe how you approach it? Give them a little window into, and so yes. That's like a 5-part question. So you can jump in at any one part
that
you want.
The first thing that came to me with that question was fear. And the reason why that came to me was when I was younger, as passionate, as open, as vocal as I am about sickle cell now, I wasn't always like this. When I was younger in elementary school, I wasn't born in this country. So being raised in New Jersey as an immigrant from Nigeria, you got to be really careful about who you let in. So eventually I realized that it wasn't benefiting me to hide having sickle cell. It wasn't, even if somebody has a negative reaction, even if they throw it in my face, even if they make fun of me, even if they're ignorant, at the end of the day, I'm not just speaking for myself. I'm speaking for, honestly, that person that's making fun of them, that's making fun of me, their cousin, their uncle, their neighbor, their hairdresser. There's so many people that have sickle cell in our lives that hide it because we don't feel a safe space. So for me, my art and poetry is my safe space for healing. And the reason why fear is so transcendent in me is because I tell myself to move with fear. I tell myself to publish that poem with fear. I tell myself to perform with fear. I tell myself to get that assignment done with fear, to create that painting, do that art show with fear, even with imposter syndrome, which I realize there's no reason to have, because I work too hard. I work too hard to believe that I'm an imposter. And I've realized that in my life. And that's opened even more vessels and more airways for me with my health. With fear, you can really believe your life is limited with having sickle cell. But no, me personally, I've had so many different opportunities come my way just because I tell people, I have sickle cell. This is a genetic blood disorder. This is how it affects me. This is how it affects somebody else. We don't all have the same experience, but we have similar pains. And that is the biggest thing, the silencing, the disparities, the discrimination, the pain that we all feel with having sickle cell. And that is something that is very unique to my style of art. A lot of my paintings and writings are about now, me growing, is about being nature. I transcend myself into a plant that doesn't have a mouth, or a skeleton that has sickle cell shaped all around it and is talking. I'm talking about a specific canvas sketch that I did for my capstone. is talking, and there's blood cells, there's platelets, there's sickle cells, and you just look at it and you see death, but it's like, even in death, we still have to bring life and light to this disease. So for me, I'm no longer afraid of what another person is going to think about if I talk about sickle cell, because at the end of the day, we lose too many people to this disease, and the silencing of this disease that makes it unable to even, you shouldn't be worried about what another person thinks, because our experiences are so unique. I don't know somebody else. One of my aunts told me, I don't know anyone else that goes to the hospital comes out smiling. And that's true. That is so true. And like I was saying earlier, so many opportunities have come to me because I have sickle cell. I was in the hospital six times between October and November last year. I came out with three internship possibilities. I came out with still being able to graduate recently in May. I was able to, thank you, especially because you have to know, you have to advocate for yourself and fight for yourself with this disease. We're not called warriors for no reason. We fight for ourselves every day in and out of the hospital, in school, at work, in our homes, in our own spiritual battles. We fight for ourselves to stay alive and to be grateful and to still be happy to see another tomorrow. So for that, for me, that's what my art represents for me. When I'm having a sickle cell crisis or I'm angry, I don't like sitting in there because that feeds more anxiety. That feeds more panic attacks, more anxiety attacks. I will grab my phone if I can't physically write immediately. Write out a poem about how I'm feeling, write out how lonely I'm feeling, how upset I'm feeling, how abandoned I'm feeling. Do a canvas sketch. I literally, while I was in the hospital, I asked for paper and a pen and a notebook, and immediately sketching out myself, wringing out sickle cells. You know, when you wring out a towel and the water is dropping. So for me, I imagine myself wringing out a towel with sickle cells and that pouring out. And that's how much pain I was in. And that's what I felt. But I also realized seeing what I visually feel is powerful in a different way. Because I remember a lot of my majority of my sickle cell crises. I remember the intensity. I remember what triggered it. I remember what I even wore sometimes, what I ate before the crisis. So for that, that brings me back to that moment of right now, I might be in a little bit of pain or I'm feeling not any pain. But then to now, you can't tell me God isn't on my side. You can't tell me somebody isn't on my side carrying me, trying to make me survive another day so we can continue this healing work and healing journey.
Oh my God. First of all, you said so many things that were powerful and that I connected with. And I wanted to interrupt and say, oh, that, but I was like, okay, I'm going to have to try to remember all these things and write notes down. Okay. So the first thing is for the listening audience, the way she described her capstone project, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and the artwork, we will actually have that available for you to look at. Because for the Vitamin C3 podcast platform, the artwork or any of the works done by our guests will be posted and presented. So look for that either on the Instagram page or the Facebook page, but it will be coming to you. So they'll be able to see that and connect with you on that level. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, she said, was the wringing out of the towel. So Miss Ayola, well, her silence and I have known each other for quite a long time. And this morning I had the pleasure of opening up Sickle Cell Day with actually mindfulness and restorative yoga. And one of the analogies that I like to use in one of my practices is the wringing out of the towel as it relates to your body and your vertebrae. Because when you do that, I always talk about getting rid of the congestion as you twist and turn. And then once you shake that towel out, you get all this fresh blood back into your body. So the fact that we use the same exact analogy at very different points of the day. And I specifically said the towel. Yeah, exactly. And I use my hand. It's such a visual, powerful mm-hmm. thing that can be healing in so many ways. Another thing that really resonated to me is you really brought to light that your poetry and your artwork provides you a voice. Mm-hmm. You started by saying that a common thing is that we live in the shadows as yes. individuals living with sickle cell disease. But you feel empowered through your work. And I almost felt the sense of liberation as yes. you were explaining, even the using it as a tool like in the hospital. I just love how you make that accessible. Can you speak to how accessing your voice, being able to do that, has a positive impact or has had a positive impact on you? I mean, you shared a little bit of it just mm-hmm. now by even saying in the hospital, being able to do that, change your trajectory. But can you open that up for us a little bit? Let's just go there. Why not?
Even you as a doctor, you know how you have to yell at some people just to get the right medication. I'm telling yes. you, when you have sickle cell, you have to be the loudest patient, but you have to be it in a way that you make the care providers know that you're not stupid, that you know exactly what is going on with your health. You ask them what your retic count is. Yes. You ask them what your hemoglobin is. You have to know your baseline hemoglobin as well. You ask them has your platelet count increased or has it gone down? Every time, me personally, ever since I was young, and this has literally scared some nurses and some doctors. Ever since I was young, I'm always watching if they take my blood. I look straight at the needle. I always watch when they're putting anything in my IV unit or anything. I always ask them, what is this for? What is my temperature? What is this? What does that mean? Because sometimes they will not tell you, even if something's really going on. And I've been in situations where having low blood pressure, the doctor changed my medication to a medication I don't use without even asking me. Having to have my mom call the hospital at my grown age because they're not listening to me. And even them disrespecting my mom as well. You have to speak up for yourself because nobody else is. And unfortunately, times we're in, it's kind of harder to have another advocate for you there. Whether it's a partner, a parent, a sibling, a friend, it's kind of harder to have somebody visit you in the hospital. But before, a lot of my experiences in the hospital are alone. I've had experiences where I have to force a nurse to even touch me. And the thing is, I'm very respectful. I'm very patient. I can be in the most excruciating pain. And I'm like, please get me my medication, and you have to let them know in a way that they still respect you. You still respect, their education, the fact that they're mm-hmm. still in the medical field, but you have to know yourself better than any doctor at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about having sickle cell. Sometimes you do know more than these doctors. Sometimes you do mm-hmm. have to tell these doctors, this is a genetic blood disorder. Sometimes you do have to tell a doctor that even though my labs are perfect, I'm in excruciating amount of pain. And I'm yes. learning that doctors are doing this more often where they look at your labs and they're like, oh, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. You have to go. It's already been 5 days. I'm writing a new poem about the 5-day limit of how they only want us in the hospital for 5 days. After that, yes. they're like, okay, you got to get out. You got to kick right. the boot. And you have to ask for something as simple as oxygen, and they'll question, oh, your levels didn't come back low. As soon as we are in crisis, organ damage is already ensuing. Vein damage is called a vaso-occlusive crisis for a reason. It is stationed in our veins. It is affecting muscles. It is affecting tissue. It's affecting our blood count. Even personally, thank God, I just got labs back before, and I'm not anemic. Even though I'm not yes. anemic, thank God, I still have fatigue. I still have the fatigue before crisis, after crisis. You know, it could be something as big as it rains right now. I'm gonna tomorrow will be a self-care day. Something as quick as the atmospheric pressure changing can change my health rapidly. So I'm very vocal about sickle cell because I'd never know what situation I'm in where I'm the only person that knows what sickle cell is. And I've been in those situations where people don't know. People are actually extremely afraid of the hospital, just like anyone, right? Yeah. But in emergencies, people don't know what's going on. They just see you crying. They just see you unable to move. They don't know if you're having a seizure. They don't know if they're supposed to touch you. And that's have happened to me so many times where if I don't tell somebody I have sickle cell, I'm uncomfortable talking about having sickle cell in that moment. I know this is not the field or environment for me. I know that if I'm not feeling safe enough to converse or be open about, hey, this is my diagnosis, this is what happens to me, I'm very intentional with my friendships about this as well. I tell certain people that I'm having a sickle cell crisis that I'm in constant contact with, just in case, like, I can't get to the phone or I'm asleep because of medication. You just have to be responsible for yourself. And unfortunately, in the hospital and in your relationships, responsible for being okay with whatever reaction that the person may have, but also have honoring yourself. I think honoring yourself is a big thing because then whatever disrespect comes your way, you're not going to take it. And you're not going to take it personally. You're just going to see it as what it is. This person is ignorant. This situation isn't the best situation. But what can I do to still put myself in the best light? And unfortunately, sometimes that has to be leaving the hospital. Sometimes that has to be asking to be immediately discharged and taking care of yourself at home. Sometimes that has to be asking for a new nurse or a doctor, you know. Sometimes that has to be talking to the doctor personally. And I've done that when my medication has been changed without talking to me. And it was medication that I don't even take. I had to have that conversation like, hey, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Where have you been? I thought there was a hematology department. What's going on? Like, we have to get together. And immediately I'm respected more. Immediately I've met doctors that tell me to keep going for my medical track. Every time in the hospital, anybody will ask me, so are you in school? What do you do? I always show my art to nurses or anything. And that also is community to me because not every nurse you come into contact with is going to be racist. Not every nurse that you come into contact with is going to hurt you. Some of the nurses that I've come into contact with, I thank God for them. They've advocated for me. Like when I was hospitalized this past like November, October, I had a nurse give me two plants and I still have them. They're still alive. I have a nurse, I'm into astrology, and was asking me what my sign was. And I was like, look at this. While she's like taking my IV out and everything. That makes you more comfortable. That makes it a more wholehearted experience, genuine experience. You come out of the hospital less traumatized. You come out of the hospital with a different story to tell. And you come out of the hospital respecting the nurses, You come out of the hospital respecting these nurses because you realize it's not easy for patient or practitioner. So for me, speaking about sickle cell brings in a lot of community and brings in a lot of like interchangeable knowledge. There's so many people that I meet in the medical field that don't know what sickle cell is and don't know that you shouldn't call anybody a sickler and don't know that you shouldn't, you know, say certain things or make certain comments about body parts until I speak up and I question. I'm like, where did you learn that word? What environment did you learn that word? And they're like, actually, okay, You're right. Or they're older doctors that, you know, they probably didn't even learn about sickle cell when they were getting their degree. So it's so many different things that you learn within the hospital, but you just have to advocate for yourself.
So many layers, but so true. I mean, you ended with the statement of advocating for yourself. And that arguably is probably the most powerful thing next to educating yourself, which you already referenced earlier. Advocating for yourself is, you know, something that's also so important. And you mentioned what I'm going to call the humanity of it. I love the example you just gave about how you're into astrology, and then the nurse connected with that, asked you what your sign was, and you expressed being more comfortable. Yes. And I'm sure that, as you said, the provider, which at that time was the nurse, also felt more comfortable. You guys connected on a human level,
yes,
which allowed the process of healing in the sense of being in the hospital, because she's treating you and healing you in that sense, to happen even better. And underlying is your poetry and your art that's healing you internally. So I just see everything kind of working within each other. And again, you guys, you know, you can't see her, but she's so expressive in how she's sharing the story that it's like a piece of art as it develops. Which leads me to my next question. I have a couple, but I'm going to start with, because we're still, you just kind of intertwine that poetry and art into the story and sometimes your stays in the hospital, what you've learned on different levels about different people. What impact has your art and your poetry, or what has it taught you about yourself?
Ooh, okay. Wow. Okay.
I went there. Yes, I'm going there.
I've realized how powerful my voice is, and it's powerful in such a scary way because I'm so young. But when I read poetry that I wrote when I was like 16, when I think of poems that I wrote when I was like 10, and I still have that same consistent voice, that vulnerability that is obviously like afraid, but now I write about so many different things that I don't just experience, that aren't just the sickle cell experience, that isn't just like the Black experience or isn't just the Black woman experience. But I like that everything I write about can be universally felt. Even if I write about sickle cell and show someone that is a close friend that doesn't have sickle cell, they still feel it.
Yes.
They still get emotional. When I write Yoruba into my poetry and the person doesn't know the language, they still understand what I'm saying. And I think that makes me, going back to the imposter syndrome, that makes me very proud of myself. But that makes me very also like humble, because I love doing work for other people. I love being in service to other people. And I love that I can be in service to myself and still help other people, because I'm healing myself through my words. I'm healing myself through telling my story. I'm healing myself through painting. But somebody else that sees it can be like, why did you tell my story? I've had so many different poems where I didn't even tell a friend what I was going through, and they asked me, is this about you? And they'll say, this felt like you wrote this for me. This feels like my experience. And I think that's such a powerful connection between the audience, the creation, and the creator. And especially, it keeps me going. It keeps me going to know that I'm not just writing about my experiences and I'm not alone. I think what also helps me learn this is getting these opportunities to perform and to speak and to showcase my work. And having people come up to me and literally ask me, okay, what was your inspiration for this? What was it? I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you actually really love my work. And that really like makes me feel so prolific, makes me feel so abundant, makes me feel like if I'm doing this at 23, imagine 25, imagine 30, imagine 40. And it makes me like feel like sickle cell cannot limit me, because if I'm this powerful now, by the grace of God, imagine when there's a new cure out or there's a new treatment out and I can have it with and be pain free or have right. less pain and be able to even create more. And the things that I've experienced, I can still write and talk about them.
Of course. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're saying is what I'm hearing is that one, your art and your poetry has made you feel more powerful, definitely mm-hmm. elevated your voice, and you've been able to connect with individuals outside of what you define as the sickle cell community kind of inherently, and that it transcends all barriers so that yes. other people can relate to and see themselves in your words and in your art, whether they have this disease process or not. And that's what art is about, that it can impact and transcend all barriers, but heal and touch every individual that it comes across, because the human experience is what you're describing.
Exactly.
And that experience is universal.
Exactly.
Right? So that it's amazing. And what I'm hearing also you're saying is that you say you're not going to let sickle cell disease limit you, but you've definitely said over and over again that acknowledging your disease process and learning about it
yes.
and being in it, being present,
present
in it, has actually opened you to other opportunities. And the future is limitless, my dear.
Yes.
I mean, the possibilities are abundant. And through your art, you're claiming that. And I can't wait to see where you're going to be at 25, 30, 35.
Yes.
I mean, it's just going to be an amazing trajectory. So thank you for putting that in that way and kind of sharing some of that magic with us, which I want to ask you then, bringing it back to a little bit more of the topic, the center of this topic. When you hear the term self-care is healthcare, what does that mean to you?
I think that as a culture, we prioritize family, right? We okay. prioritize the nuclear family, the idea of herd mentality of nobody outside of my kin has my back. I can't really trust mm-hmm. this person. The only people that love me the most are my parents. And sometimes that can hinder the way we present to ourselves. Sometimes okay. we can be very sacrificial in the way we take care of ourselves because of how it affects our communities and how it affects our families and how it affects mm-hmm. the people around us. And especially in this new generation of unraveling trauma, unraveling childhood trauma, unraveling the traumas of our parents, intergenerational trauma, especially in the Black community, especially because sickle cell is genetic. My ancestors had it. My father, my father's father, my father knows family members that he watched in pain but never got the diagnosis because we're right. Nigerian, you know, it wasn't accessible at that point. A lot of times with sickle cell, we try to be there for everybody else instead of ourselves, not to be a burden, not to seem like we can't take care of ourselves, not to seem like we don't have it all together. So sometimes okay. we might neglect our own self-care. And that might be turning off your phone for a week
mm-hmm.
and taking a spa day, taking a book mm-hmm. reading day, taking a prayer spiritual day. That might be disconnecting from certain people. That might be disconnecting from certain like media. But because we're socialized to put other people first, that is very hard. So for me, self-care right. being healthcare means prioritizing your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, and your physical health before anybody else. Because these things, you know, soul, mind, body, these things mm-hmm. are very intentional and purposeful when you are able to harness them for yourself. You're able to integrate yourself into your communities and into your family and into socializing with people in a different way. When I became more intentional with my holistic and spiritual beliefs and healing practices, I realized how much I'm not just hurting myself, but other people. And once you realize that, you realize how healing can look like you having to walk away, the other person having to walk away, or saying I'm sorry, acknowledging those hard conversations. I think that's all about self-care, is being responsible for yourself, being responsible for your own emotions, your own reactions, the way you take care of yourself, the way you take care of others. But prioritizing yourself first, I think, is just the ultimate healthcare.
Ah, I love that answer. And you already referenced another thing I was going to ask about, which was, how are you intentional, and how does that play? Because that specifically, you speak about that in your bio that you share. Yes. So thank you for sharing a little bit of that. And I'm going to dig a little deeper. So you mentioned finding a balance and kind of coming to some terms that you, for yourself, that you need to nurture, become more aware of, and develop. So let's speak specifically about the mental health part of this entire thing. What do you do in your life? What kind of mechanism have you put in place in your life to nurture your mental health? And then I want you to kind of relay that to how, you know, the emphasis tends to be on the lab work and the physical stuff and just the going in to see the doctor and all that kind of stuff. Paint that picture for us on how you view it now that you have developed. Let's put it in the now and the present, because again, you and I have some history, so I don't want to go 10 years ago. I want to stay right now because you're in a different place.
Yes,
and I want the audience to be able to see that, you know, no matter where you've come from, you can come to this realization in whatever way that it needs to be for you today. So share a little bit, again, I'm going to repeat, share a little bit about, one, how do you set up your supportive mental health program? And then how do you see that interplaying into overall care as it relates to sickle cell disease? Okay, go.
So to begin, back to that notion of fear, I had to let go of the fear of shame. I had to let go of fear of all of my traumas are my fault, or I'm responsible for everything that has happened to me.
Wow, I know this episode has been so good. We hate to pause right here, but we are. Tune in next week so that you can hear part two with Dr. Marjorie and Ayula as they talk about Speak and Heal, a Sickle Cell Warrior's Guide to Self-Care.